all well with us and love the lesson. First of all, I'd like to thank the committee of the conference for inviting me to be here. It's a joy to be here. And this morning, the topic is one that's dear to my heart. And I'm going to give it a heading, which is easy to remember, Outreach, Compassion. The topic on the folder is Outreach and Witness. Over a year ago, we formed a committee of gathering from our family and sisters, which was registered with the government, and some others from other parts of our province joined this committee to FDR country some of the unfortunate people known as the boat people. And the Lord brought to us a worthy family, a father, mother, and three boys that have been a real joy as we've cared for them. We had to give our organization a name, so after discussion we called it Outreach Compassion. And I thought, what a fitting title for the subject before us today. Let's turn to Psalm 126 first of all. We're just going to read a few short verses here, and then we'll go to our New Testament scripture. Outreach and Witness. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Winning souls to the Savior. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that groweth forth and reapeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are a few thoughts here I'd like to share with you. First of all, the first, trust. We have been entrusted with the gospel. Paul said, as we allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart. The sower's trust. Next, the sower's toil. He that goeth. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The sower's toil. Next, the sower's territory. He that goeth forth into the field, the harvest field. There is a vast territory from which we can glean the sheaves of golden grain for the garners of heaven. Next we have the sower's fear. His trust, his toil, his tension, his tears. They that sow in tears. He that go forth and weepeth. Next we have the sower's treasure. Bearing precious seed. The message of the gospel. To sow in the hearts of men. Next we have the sower's triumph. He shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. The sower's triumph. And lastly, the sower's trophies, bringing his sheaves with him. Heading for this portion, sow in tears and leap in joy. Turn to me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. And we're going to read not all of this chapter, But unless we get the connection in this story, verse 3 of John chapter 4, Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, and he must be close to Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, due to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, after being weary of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given me living water. Let's drop down, for the sake of time, to verse 20. The woman said to him, Our fathers worship in this mountain, and he said that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. We worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. But when I said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went away into the city and said to the man, Come and see a man which told me all things whichever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him off to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit as an open trail, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I say to you, to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. In connection with going to into the meeting of joy, our outreach and witness, point number one, we must get priorities corrected. If the Lord is going to use us in what he says for Christ. I want you to look at verse 8, please, and notice the contrast between the disciples and the Lord Jesus. His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. The Lord Jesus sat on the well waiting for that woman to come, that he might speak to her and save her soul, and the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now the disciples had wrong priorities. They were going away. They were not sent by the Lord Jesus. They chose to go to the city, leaving him behind at the well, because their chief concern was a physical and material thing. They were more concerned about material things and physical things than they were about spiritual things. They were more concerned about the things pertaining to the body than they were about the things pertaining to the soul. And you know, beloved, is it possible that in many assemblies, the majority is more concerned about that cup of coffee and what goes along with it before the family Bible hour than what they are about the prayer time when souls can hear the gospel being preached? Now, I told you in that, because so often there's a crowd of people, they're sipping their coffee, eating their cookies, and there's only a handful in the prayer room. We've got to get our priorities corrected, beloved. The sound of the gospel crusade, the bowling alley, is more important than bringing souls to the gospel meeting. It is. I have observed that. And perhaps too many of us, in many assemblies, beautiful, costly, grand buildings are more important than gospel crusades and more important than reaching souls for Jesus Christ by going out after going to the parishes. Now we have this priorities wrong, and because of this, they had wrong perspective. Look, please, at verse 27. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that Jesus taught with the room. They were ignorant of the great grace and love of our Lord Jesus toward mankind. They marveled that he taught with the women. They could not enter into the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ. Imagine him being amazed that he would talk to a sinner who needed salvation. They were ignorant, I repeat, of the great grace, love, and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, look at verses 31 to 33. They were ignorant of the supreme satisfaction and joy found in putting spiritual things ahead of material things. In the meantime, verse 31, his disciples prayed and said, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Have any man brought him ought to eat?" They had their priorities wrong and they had their perspectives wrong. They were ignorant of the supreme satisfaction and joy found in putting spiritual things ahead of material things. The joy of winning souls for Christ. Just the night before last, I sat in the home for 3 hours with a group of young people around a table and had the joy of hearing one of those young people confess faith in Jesus Christ. And all the joy of living the souls of the Savior, they that fall tears shall reap the joy. Now if our priorities are going to be corrected, then we must be like the Master. And what is the Master? Number one, his example. And number two, his exhortation. His example in verse 34. That covers the story that we read about the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And he came to that well and he saved that sinful soul. Look at verse 34. Jesus said unto them, "For those who did not experience the joy of putting spiritual things ahead of material things, of winning souls for Christ, he said, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.'" One of four things here, beloved, I want to share with you. Our Lord Jesus, number one, recognized but he was commissioned by the Father's word. Man eager to do the will of him, there's his word, him that sent me. Commissioned by the word of the Father. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Here am I, send me. We need to recognize afresh today that we have been commissioned by the word of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you, said the Lord Jesus. We have been commissioned by the Father's word. Number two, he was constrained by the Father's will. Commissioned by the Father's word, constrained by the Father's will. My link is to do the will of him that sent me. Constrained by the Father's will. Numbers 3 and chapter 6, the Lord Jesus defined the Father's will in verse 40. Chapter 6 of this gospel. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that God's will is that all men should be saved. Beloved, am I constrained by the will of God? Say unto them, if I live, saith the Lord God, I will pleasure in the gospel of Jesus. God's will is that men should be saved. I bow me to thy will, O God. Next, the Lord Jesus Christ was not only commissioned by the Father's will, constrained by the Father's will, but he completed the Father's work. My need is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. There is a singular joy men in being able to say, I have done whatsoever thou hast commanded. Who said that? In the parable in Luke chapter 14, in the story of the grave suffered, bringing the blind, the maimed, and the halt, and goes into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, and the servant said, I have done whatsoever thou hast commanded, the completion of the Father's work. And lastly, in connection with our Lord Jesus' example, he was compensated by the Father's well done. Why do we say that? Notice his words, my meat. I have meat, said he in verse 34, to eat that you know not of. In verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He was compensated by the Father's well done. The satisfaction that the Father was well pleased in his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Beloved, one day we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and the compensation then will be the Father's well done. That's the example of the Lord Jesus. Now it is through his exhortation. Verse 35 to 38. And this exhortation can be put under four simple words. Number one, stop. Number two, look. Number three, listen. And number four, go. Verse 35, stop. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Stop saying, this is not the time to be gathered in the sheaves. This is not soul winning time. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Say not, standing, I get busy for the Lord to win souls. Stop saying that. Stop saying the Lord can't use me. Recognize this is harvest time. are their shoes to be battered. Look, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are ready for the harvest. Look in the fields of young people. Look in the fields of aged people. Look in the fields of middle-aged people. Look in the fields of boys and girls, they are ready for the harvest. Their souls to be saved. God wants to work today. Next, listen. Verse 36. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And hearing that that's very true, one soweth and another reapeth. Listen to these words from the Savior. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. He becomes a channel of blessing in the hand of God, that souls might be saved, become possessors of life eternal. Stop, walk, listen, go. Verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor. Other men labor than you entered into the labor. As my Father sent me, even so have I sent you. Now our Lord Jesus Christ must needs go to Samaria. We've talked about getting our priorities corrected. Now let's think about getting into condition that the Lord might use us. He must needs go to Samaria. There are four things I'd like to share with you here. For our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a constraining consciousness. A constraining consciousness. There were many souls in Samaria. There were many, many, many of us salvation. And that's what constrained him. Secondly, there was a constraining compassion. He must needs go. He knew the value of precious souls. And he had to go through Samaria because his compassionate heart constrained him. Third, there was a constraining consideration. If he did not go and speak to that woman of the law, how would she hear of salvation? If you and I don't go, beloved, if we don't tell people of Christ, how are they going to hear? Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall we preach except to be sent? And then there was a calculated cost to be considered in getting into condition. There were four barriers to surmount. Number one, a social barrier. That woman was an outcast of society who came in the middle of the day to draw water instead of in the evening of the day because of her character. The Lord Jesus Christ did not allow a social barrier to stand between him and that precious soul. Beloved, God help us to surmount social barriers. You know, I used to detest the alcoholics. They were the most repulsive people to me that I could ever meet. But God had to deal with me about that. Not that I have any different regard for alcoholism, but I can love the alcoholic even though I hate his alcoholism. And I can go to that man and put my arm around and say, God loves you, man. God help us to surmount the social barrier. Secondly, there was a religious barrier. And that often stands in the way. This woman was a Samaritan. She could say, our fathers worship in this mountain. But the Lord Jesus said, out of that barrier, the religious barrier, don't let it stand in your way. Just a little week ago, standing in Westminster Abbey in London, England, one of our groups said, as required to a reverend gentleman with his beautiful gown and his beautiful sash, he said, do you think he's born again? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. He said, you're not, are you? I said, I sure am. And I went over and I introduced myself and you might say, how did you start talking with him? And I said, you know what? You look like a dear friend of mine who not long ago went home to heaven. And I said, I got started. And I knew what religion he was, so I said, have you ever heard of John Stott? And he said, everybody over here has heard of John Stott. And then the conversation was on. I talked to that man about the Lord, and he said, I'm a liberal. I said, I beg your pardon? He said, I'm a liberal. You're a what? Well, he said, I don't believe that John Stott guy. Well, I said, man, you better believe, for the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I had a real nice talk to him. The religious barrier. There was one more. The custom barrier. And the Lord Jesus reminded that. The disciples marveled when he talked to the woman. But the Lord Jesus went there that he might talk to her. That's what we need, beloved, to get into condition. The constraining consciousness. The constraining compassion. The constraining consideration on the calculated cost. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, getting into contact. Getting into contact. The Lord said to Philip and asked chapter 8, arise and go. He went to Gaza. And yes, he got into contact. The Lord said in chapter 9 to Ananias, you arise and go into the street called Straight. And he went and he got into contact with Paul. The Lord said to Peter in Acts chapter 10, arise and go. And he went and he got into contact with Cornelius. Beloved, we have to get into contact with people. I said to a woman in a little time we were having meetings, I hope they invite your neighbors out to the meetings. And I wasn't too sure about this Christian lady, whether she would even come because she belonged to a very exclusive party. And she shocked me when she said, I don't know my neighbors. I said, don't tell me. And she made it all around you. I said, how long have you been living here? She said, we've been here over a year, and you don't know any of your neighbors? However, would you win them for Christ? Get in contact, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ says, go into all the world. We need to be in contact with people. And that's one reason why I love to ski. So, Bentley, if you react to that, I love to ski because I can talk to more people on ski hill in the afternoon or evening than anywhere else except in a place like this. And when you get them on the chairlift, there's a few bar that can't walk over you. You've got them right there. Not that you've crammed it down your throat at all, but you've got them right there and you can talk to them about the Lord. And I remember one day, a fellow said to me, as I talked to him going up the hill, he said, man, I should have a talk with you. I said, let's stop at the top of the hill. And for 20 minutes we stood there talking about the Lord. And the other three of his party came up and went down and they were glancing over, wondering what's wrong with their companion. And he was there drinking in the message. Beloved, we need to get into contact with people. Next, getting into conversation. People say, how can you do it? How can you talk to people? That's when I choke up and I wonder, what to say? Well, here's the example of the Lord Jesus. What did he do? What did he say when he got into conversation with this woman? Look at verse 7. He hears something right there. She's come to the well to draw water, and he said, give me the drink. And he hears something right there. A hand. Father, there's always a hand watching you grasp onto you. Spurgeon said, if I go to a home and a woman is baking bread, I say to her, have you ever partaken of the bread of life? That's the way to do it. And I think of my brother Roy Allen. Brother Allen, you over here, I don't know how long he's had that car that he likes so well, but one day he said, I'm going down to Sunbridge to get a car, and I said, I'll drive you down. So we drove down, had lunch with him and his dear wife and my wife along. And then we went into the place where he got his new car. And after a while, we were introduced to the manager of the place that came in. And he said to me, what business are you in? And I said, I'm with the big three. imagine I had a view for sure. I said, no, that's what General Motors calls it for. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I had no thing to hear with him. Get into the conversation. As they look for the handle, it's real. Even my dear Dr. Phillips of Toronto. And I remember when I was a boy, he used to come into Pedlar area, and it was a highlight to go and visit with my father and mother and the rest of our family and have a meal and go for a swim. And he used to come every summer, and he was a real witness for the Lord. One day he got a woman in his chair and he was fixing his teeth and emphasizing the importance for a yearly checkup, and the lady said, just pat him a bit, she said, I suppose, doctor, that the teeth are the most important part of a person. He said, you think so? She said, yes, I think so. Doctor, she said, I'm quite sure my teeth are the most important part of me. Now, how would you handle a situation like that? He said, did you ever hear a verse in the Bible that says, once for the profit of man, he redeemed the whole world and used his own teeth? And she said, never heard a verse like that? He said, well, what does the verse say? And she said, I don't know. They said, it says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The lady said, I suppose you go to church sometime and you sing, do you? Yes, she said, I do. He said, did you ever sing that hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Teeth? She said, never sang that. Hey, what are you saying? Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Now look at this verse again, verse 7. Give me the drink. The Lord Jesus is something right at hand. Beloved, sometimes I go to a door and knock at the door and I'm asking the Lord, well, give me an opening. And there might be a brand new storm door on the place, a lovely door. I say, man, you've got a nice door on here. And you say something nice about the place. You've got there for sure. And you talk a bit about the door. And then what do you talk about? The Lord Jesus, the door to heaven. Getting into conversation. And then next minute, please, gaining interest. How the Lord Jesus did this. The woman in verse 9 was amazed, and she said, how is it that thou being a Jew ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now how did the Lord Jesus gain her interest? Look at what he said. He said in effect in verse 10, I know what you need. If I knew it's the gift of God and who it is acceptably, give me the drink. Thou wouldst have asked of him and he would have given me living water. Bring me a divine satisfaction. And the Lord Jesus had a year. He said, not only, I know what you need, but he said, I have what you need. And when you talk to people, talk to them about their need of Christ, and tell them if you have found in the Savior that which meets that need. And then the Lord Jesus, in verse 13, said in effect, I have an offer what is better than what the world has to offer. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, this is what is best in life. And beloved, you can be enthusiastic about this matter of knowing Christ and if you're inspired, people will want what you have. There's been like a little skit that we shared with the folk of Oshawa when we've done this one before. Brother George is here. He was part of the skit. And the first part is a fearful approach. And I took that in the skit. And then the next part is the unenthusiastic approach. When a person goes to the door, knocks on the door, and the lady of the house comes to the door, and the person visiting says, You wouldn't want to attend our chapel, would you? And the person says no, and closes the door. Well, if you approach the subject that way, well, it'll happen just like that. The person will close the door. But all the enthusiasm the Lord Jesus showed about what he had for them, gaining interest, then grappling with conscience. Beloved, in the woman of Saul, this is so tremendously important. The woman said in verse 15, give me this water that I thirst not, either come hither to draw. But the Lord Jesus knew that she wasn't ready yet for salvation because she wasn't yet convicted of her sin. He said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And she exclaimed in verse 19, so I perceive that thou art a prophet. The Lord Jesus convicted her of her sin. And God, when dealing with souls, make sure the person understands I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. And then lastly, giving the gospel. The Lord Jesus presented that salvation is not in religion. Don't be sidetracked by people saying, what's your right church? The woman did this, but the Lord Jesus just got it back in track. He said, salvation is not in religion. He told her where salvation is found. And he told her that the time of salvation, verse 23, is now. And he told her that the Father was seeking her, and the Father wanted sincerity and truth. And then at last, when she said, I know that Christ comes. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. And he said, I'm the one. He presented himself to her, and she received him as her Savior and Lord. And then notice, please, how that this spread. She went back to the city, told the man, and they flocked out. And many soldiers say, to one soul being led to Christ. Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way. Few there are who seem to care. Few there are who pray. Not my heart. Lead me to some soul today. May God grant that we'll go back to our home assemblies with a fresh vision of souls perishing to win them.